Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four. I got something, girl, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the Lord's sea.
For 3 decades before my election, drug overdose deaths increased every single year. Under my leadership, we took the drug and fentanyl crisis head on, and we achieved the first reduction in overdose deaths in more than 30 years. I also proudly signed the Support Act, the largest investment ever in combating the opioid epidemic. Sadly, under Joe Biden, our hard-won progress has been surrendered along with the surrender of our southern border. It's such a shame. Now fentanyl and other ultra-deadly poisons are pouring into our country unchecked, stealing more than 100,000 American lives every single year, and many people think that real number is 300,000 to 400,000. Joe Biden's record is one of death, destruction, and misery in communities all across our nation. When I'm back in the White House, I will take action on day one to end this horrific plague and save American lives. Joe Biden will never solve the drug overdose crisis because he is actively destroying our border. What he has done to our border, we had the safest border in the history of our country, and now we have the worst border probably anywhere in the world, including third world countries. That's why I have previously announced I will impose a full naval embargo on the drug cartels and deploy military assets to inflict maximum damage on cartel operations. I will insist on the full cooperation of neighboring governments to dismantle the trafficking and smuggling networks in our region, and I will ask Congress to ensure that drug dealers, kingpins, and human traffickers receive the death penalty. At the same time, I will direct federal law enforcement here in the United States to take down the gangs and organized street crime that distribute these deadly narcotics on a local level. They are killing our people. They are poisoning our beautiful children. I will permanently designate fentanyl as a federally controlled substance, and I will tell China that if they do not clamp down on the export of fentanyl's chemical precursors, they will pay a steep price. I had a deal worked out with President Xi. They weren't going to be sending any more, and they were going to impose the death penalty on those that made it in China. But with a rigged election, that ended. Attacking the supply of these deadly drugs will be just the beginning. We must also do more to end the scourge of addiction here at home. Among the most important steps we can take is to strengthen the pillars that give life, meaning, and hope for those struggling with addiction, particular work, faith, and family. We need work, faith, and family. My administration will support measures to make it easier for those suffering from addiction to seek treatment without losing their jobs. We will forge new public-private partnerships for companies willing to provide job opportunities and skills training for former addicts. We will expand federal support for faith-based counseling, treatment, and recovery programs, recognizing that we are going to need God's help to steer our country out of this crisis. Finally, we will ensure that if a parent, child, spouse, or other relative needs to take time to care for a loved one fighting to overcome addiction, they are more easily able to take advantage of the family leave program, so important. When I'm president, we will not rest until we have ended the drug addiction crisis in America. We will win. It will happen. We have to win, though, in 2024, because our country is going to hell. Thank you.
Expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
You're listening to the Black Excellence Hour with P. Ray on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America. Hello, Chicago, and what's up, West Side? This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. You could have been anywhere this Sunday, and you chose to come hang out with me today at Black Excellence Hour, and I truly appreciate the company. If you are watching now on Facebook Live, and that can be on the Black Excellence Facebook page or the WVON Facebook page, be sure to share the live, tag a friend, let people know that we are on the radio, and we're about to have a little fun. We all know that Chicago was very upset last Wednesday. I heard everybody just angry on the airwaves because y'all didn't listen to P-Ray. Now, the thing about it is this. Brandon and the city council, meaning the people who supported him, did exactly what they said they were going to do. It's literally on the website. It's still up. So if you want to know what's coming next, all you got to do is go to Brandon Johnson's campaign website, and it's clearly laid out there. He does not care that you do not like it because you, friends, did not put him on the ballot, nor did you ask for anything before you gave him your vote. Now, a lot of people are like, we don't want to vote for Paul Vallis, but look at you now. Look. And it's interesting because when we brought this up last week, there were people who actually called the show and they were like, you know what, P-Ray, honestly, I did support him. I was telling people to vote for him. And no, I did not read. So today's show is twofold. The first thing that we're going to do today is we're going to have a conversation with Chicago directly because we know that all of the aldermen are listening to Black Excellence Hour right now. Apparently, this show is popping. I'm finding out more and more every day. So people want to know how we're going to roll this out. So we're going to take 2 days to do it. Today's show is going to be a hot mic, meaning that you can call this show and I'm going to give you a minute and 30 seconds to 2 minutes and you can talk directly to your alderman. Tell them what you want them to know as a person who votes directly for them. Because last week a lot of people wanted to talk about what was going on, but the issue is that they were talking about people as a whole and not the people that they elected. So today we're going to call people by their names and we're going to tell them exactly what we want them to know today here at Black Excellence Hour. So if you are someone who votes in the city, give us a call, 773-591-1690, and let us know how you feel, or let your alderman know how you felt about not only how they voted, but remember, friends, this money is only going to last until the end of the month. So there's going to be an additional vote. So I want you also to let your alderman know how you want them to vote going forward. So that's the first thing that we are going to do today. We are also going to have a conversation with the president of the Martin Luther King Republicans, president and founder, Mr. Jimmy Lee Tillman, because not only are we going to talk about the alderman, but we have to talk about what we're doing moving forward. I want to give a shout out to everyone who called 311 and was on business and made those phone calls. We truly appreciate it. I also want to give a shout out to my alderman, mine, and that is Miss Emma Mitz of the 37th Ward. Miss Emma Mitz, you are a queen, and that's why we honor you like we do in the 37th Ward. Now, there have been times where you voted with the mayor, and that was not in the interest of our people, but I think that in this instance, you really came to do what you came to do, and we truly appreciate it because if you guys forgot, that money was for opioids. To repair communities that were destroyed and decimated by the opioid epidemic, meaning that that money was supposed to come to Black neighborhoods in the city to help us build rehabs for our people. They spent the rehab money on the illegal aliens, y'all. Literally, the rehab money was spent on illegal aliens. So today you could, again, get to talk to your alderman about that. Tomorrow, we are going to break this down by data. I'm going to run some tapes. We are going to have a huge in-depth conversation about this because, again, we've been talking about our feelings. So today is the day that we get all of our feelings out of the way. Tomorrow we own business. Before we do that, we're going to start the show like we do every single show. And that is with the dose of self-esteem from the greatest president to ever do it. If my Donnie was in office, y'all, we would not be going through this. We would have more money in our pockets. Food would be cheaper, gas would be cheaper, inflation would be low, but y'all let Chucks and Pearls trick y'all out of a good thing. Roll tape.
African Americans built this nation. You built this nation. You know, you're just starting to get real credit for that, okay? I don't know if you know that. You're just starting to get, you built the nation. We all built it, but you were such a massive part of it. Bigger than you were given credit for. Does that make sense? Right? But through generations of blood, sweat, and tears, and you deserve a government that defends your interests, protects your families, and cares for our own citizens first. My administration is fighting with everyone in all our heart to reverse the pain inflicted by Democrat leaders and to deliver hope and opportunity and prosperity for all Americans, but for African-American communities all throughout our land. And our agenda is lifting up citizens of every background, race, religion, color, and creed. But while we are fighting every day to build up our nation, the far left only wants to wreck, ruin, and destroy our nation.
All right. So you just heard from the greatest president to ever do it, and that is Mr. Donald John Trump. Before I bring my guest host on with me, I also want to give a shout-out to DW Consulting, and that is with Ms. Deborah Williams. She hosted the West Side Women of Wisdom event last Thursday, and we had a West Side good time. I mean, the Austin community shows up and shows out. And so what Deborah does every year, she has an event where she honors the women in the community who are doing the work. So you have people, we have elected officials there. Speaking of elected officials, Melissa Conyers Irvin, y'all, was snatched. We got to give it up to her. Melissa has been working out. Melissa was there. She had her little haircut bob. She had her dress on. It was black. I'm like, okay, girl, yes, you look great. And I got Ebony and Ebony Tillman in the studio, and she throwing up the Sigma Gamma Rho for her soror. Okay, so, yes, I just want to, again, say that to Miss Melissa. Y'all, the city of Chicago got a fine treasurer. That woman got it together. I digress. Not that she didn't have it together, but, oh, does she look great. Moving on, back to the event. So we have the elected officials there. We have the business community there. So, for instance, we have the Coleman family. Shout out to Sister Lynette Coleman of Coleman's Barbecue and Ribs, or Chicken and Ribs. We had social people there, like Deborah Vines, who was a Time Magazine hero candidate. She runs an autism association in the western suburbs. You had children there. I mean, it's just a beautiful West Side time. So shout out again to Ms. Deborah Williams for throwing such a wonderful event. Typically, we would go over current events during this time, but because today is the hot mic and I have my guests, we're going to hold all of those current events and all that good stuff until tomorrow because we only got 53 minutes here. So, friends, I want to turn the mic over to my guest, and that is Mr. Jimmy Lee Tillman. Welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Well, thank you for having me on, P. Wright. I appreciate you giving me a little chance to be on. How you doing, everybody out there in VON?
We wonderful. We are great. Thank you for coming on. Like I said, we are in a moment where I think Black Chicago, not only Black Chicago, but Chicago in general, we are done with the Democratic Party. For the fact that they are spending $1.7 million a day on of the rehab money, literally the rehab money. Do you all know that we could have put a rehab in every single ward for $1.7 million and got this opioid issue under control? But they didn't care about that. They cared more about cartel trafficking. So rather than us support this cartel trafficking with money that's supposed to help ourselves, we're moving away from the Democrats. And the Martin Luther King Republicans have the plan, have always had the plan. They have laid out the framework. They know the people in D.C. They have made the relationships. They have done the work. These are not grifters. These are not grifters. These are not grifters. These are not people who show up for a bag. These are not people who are trying to get money out of people. These are not people who are trying to shake down folks. These are not people who promise that they have a street army that can intimidate folks into making black folks vote for Republicans. These are black intellectual people who decided to use the intellectual abilities that they gathered at their HBCUs, shout out to the HBCUs,
yes,
to
you.
Bring that knowledge back to our people to drive us forward. So, Mr. Tillman, I'm going to give you the floor.
Well, check that out. What a layup. So we had a good pre-set how we was going to do the show back in the backup room, and it's not how we're going, so let me go with the flow.
No. It's the same.
I'm trying to go with the flow now. P-Ray, first of all, everybody, hats off to P-Ray. We know we didn't get the migrant bill. We got it passed. We didn't want it passed. You didn't stop it. But I'd like to thank you and commend you for the work that you were doing on behalf of all the people who didn't have a voice or did not know what to do to reach out to their alderman or call their alderman or to even have a voice or say so. You'd be surprised how many people I met on the street was telling me they called in the alderman or that I called my alderman. I said something. I did something. You see, it's about direct action. A lot of times our people don't know how to move, or when a problem comes out, they like to point at the problem and say, there's a problem, there's a problem. Not too often do people come with solutions or ways to see themselves out of that problem. And everybody was screaming, they're coming, how are they doing it? But not, let's put pressure upon the people who make the laws. And we looked at the alderman, and yeah, I would like to see from your callers, how they feel about their alderman, who voted for the bills, and if your alderman voted for the bill and you don't like it, I'd like to hear what you say about that. But people are getting JB off the hook. The governor that just got elected this past election, he declared Illinois a sanctuary state. So if Brandon Johnson want to pack up all these migrants and move them out of Chicago, he can.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a problem with leadership here. Over there in South Shore, I know all those people are angry. You know, they mad. Now you mad at Brandon, probably mad at your alderman. Alderman just got there, so it's a new alderman in Fifth Ward, correct? So you got a new alderman, so it's difficult to point your finger at that person because she probably don't know what's going on. But your state rep is still there and your state senator. You see, these are what's happening here in Chicago is direct action of what your state representation has been playing upon y'all. It's easy for them to hire everybody in Chicago in the city hall with your aldermen. It's easy for them to hide all our problems right there. But no one looks at the laws that comes down from the state house. They have so many laws that affect every citizen in the state that is having a direct change on how we all live. Now, this immigration law, first of all, it's against the law to take all the money they have with citizens. And if your alderman voted for this law, that means your alderman voted to not have no welfare for your citizens in his ward or her ward, no Section 8 for citizens in his or her ward, or a lack of services. You see, the new mayor liked to talk about the soul of Chicago. Everything's about the soul of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Was difficult to cleanse the soul of Chicago or keep the soul of Chicago moving when you got different souls or energies or bodies coming into our land, into our country with different ideologies. It's hard to have to keep the soul of Chicago which is changing from different illegal immigrants every day. Africans, Haitians, Colombians, Cubans, Nicaraguans, Iraqians, everybody across the world know it's easy to get in America through Canada or Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We're wide open. So I would like to see, because a lot of people was down there at City Hall. I didn't know people were standing in front of buses risking their lives to stop immigrants. I
mm-hmm.
blew my mind. I didn't know that the people was that angry. So,
well, you see, after they made the vote, the sky opened and all the hell fell on the city. It was such a heavy energy. I've never seen Chicago this mad.
Right.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, have you ever seen anything like that?
I haven't seen it, and this is what you get for when you have constant Democrat leadership. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, hey, Democrats are bad. You know, hey, we're the Tillmans. We come from that muck of the world. But when we operated in the independent Democratic lane and the Democrats said get out of it, see, the Democrats moved on us, for the record. The Tillmans, the next generation of Tillmans are Republicans because the Democrats moved on our mother. Like, we don't want this black stuff here. So we took our black stuff and went there. You know,
mm-hmm.
point blank, the reason why we have this problem right now, the reason why I have no leadership right now, because the Democratic Party moved on someone that they said was speaking for their people. And you had all these new want to be progressive people, wanting to be the person. We just get Dorothy out the way, and then we'll give you what you want. So they got my mother out the way, and they gotten what they want. They put in a bunch of aldermen. So my mother, soon the crop of aldermen that got replaced, since when Jesse Jackson Jr. put his team in to remove all the aldermen out, to bring in this new progressive alderman that we have here. We can go on and on. The people who are making these laws are remnants of the Jesse Jackson syndrome, whether they're in the county, whether they're in the state house or the Senate, you know. So this is their operation. So I'm not saying take your anger and look at them. This has been like, 15 years. I say 15 years because we started our organization 15 years ago because we saw how they was going to move
mm-hmm.
and what they're going to do. And, I got to say happy birthday to my grandson, Joel, who's listening right now. Joel, he's turned 8 years old.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Right, because the Martin Luther King Republicans are fighting for Joel right now. Not only is it the immigration situation that take over the nation, sound like Jesse Jackson, right? Not only is the immigration situation take over the nation, but it's a fight for the future of our race right now. Right now, Black Chicago, we are at a level 5 extinction level right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are making a move upon the future of our children. Now, we all hear about everyone comes on the mic and say, oh, the sexuality, which is bad, teaching of our children, all the masturbation and tools and wickedry that they are putting upon our children at such an early age. We're talking about disfigurement. We're talking about body modification. We're talking about mutilating our children. We're talking about
castrating them.
We're talking about giving puberty blockers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take a pause for a second, Black people. The Democratic Party has declared war upon your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. They're making sure that there's no legacy of your left. So let me tell you, when you say there's a red level 5 extinction level, so when your grandchildren are not able to have children, then you no longer exist. So we need to look at the party, what they're playing on us, and how they feel about you. You see right now, the Democrats told you you can only have a certain amount of kids if you qualify for welfare. But unless you're an immigrant, your whole family can get it. If you're an American, I'm not going to say Black, white, red, or brown. If you are a United States citizen and you've been on the Section 8 line for 5 years, somebody just got ahead of you and just got your number yesterday.
Not even 5 years. I know people that have been on there for 20 years.
I didn't want to go that long.
No, I know we have to because people been waiting to come back home since their building got knocked down.
Right.
Our people don't want to be in Iowa.
Right.
Our people don't want to be in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, all these little bumble places. You know, nobody wants to be there. They want to come home and eat. Yeah. But they can't. But they figured out how to use the money that Trump forced the city to start spending the CHA money, by the way. Remember,
right.
That's why I went to the White House to talk to Biden. I mean, not Biden, excuse me, not Jim Crow Joe, to Dr. Carson.
Right.
I went to the White House to talk to Dr. Carson. Dr. Carson told me to my face that the city was going to be compelled to spend the housing money because they were getting rid of the automatic prerogative. So now they're spending the housing money that they've been hoarding for all of this time, and they're trying to spend it on illegal immigrants rather than our people.
You know something? That automatic prerogative was the biggest trick. You see, you had the haters, I don't say the haters, but the black ops. They want to use the term automatic prerogative to be a title or a term to use to get rid of somebody that they don't like or the alderman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get rid of automatic prerogative. Let's get rid of that. Alderman got too much power. Not knowing now that you gave all that power, the alderman has lost all that power. Your alderman cannot fight for what happened in these schools. The alderman cannot say, I can't stop immigrants from coming to school. The alderman can't say, I can't stop people from closing school. The alderman can't say, I can't bring somebody to clean that street behind your alley. The alderman can't do nothing but say, call 311, I'm just a legislator.
But see, but then that makes it very nuanced, because Dr. Carson said that prerogative was the reason that they were not spending the CHA money, because everybody was saying, no, I don't want that development in my ward.
See, again, you got to look at the alderman that came in. See, it was a progression. They took out the alderman that was securing the black areas, and
mm-hmm.
they put in the progressive alderman, and the progressive alderman saying, no, we're not going to bring these people back up in here.
Oh.
So we know, don't give us that money. So.
That makes sense.
So the money had to be sent over there and spent because they didn't want those people, quote, unquote, back home.
That makes sense. So, somebody like Jeanette Taylor, she's been very popular this week on WVON. Alderman Jeanette Taylor got all that empty land over there. She could have gone to CHA and said, you know, give me some money. We need to house our people. I'm seeing homeless people outside. They need somewhere to sleep.
Well, it goes from this where you got to go from the city to the state to the federal.
Uh-huh.
It's all a game ran by one party. And so they're not like... Jeanette Taylor can do so much in the 20th Ward
mm-hmm.
by bringing low affordable income housing. But the Democrats have a plan not to bring. It's been a plan to, once they move the Tillmans out the 3rd Ward, Black Chicago has been empty and they've been wide open for the picking, point blank. There's no voice out there to say stop. And everybody who said, she talk all that black stuff, are screaming, we need black stuff now. And let me tell you, see, what's happening to our people it's not like they don't know it's happening to our people. It's just that there's no one speaking up for our people. And that's why the Martin Luther King Republicans are here, because we're going to be on the forefront of stopping the castration of children, because this fight is for my grandson that I'm out here right now. Because I want my grandson to be fruitful and multiply, like the great book said. And I'm not going to stop anything from having my son have a nice life. And I'm fighting for your children and your grandchildren, your namesake. You have these sick state reps down here, these sick men that are passing laws, these sick black men. I'm talking to the black state reps out there who think it's okay to cut their child penises off and make their little boys girls. I'm talking to the black state reps out there who think it's okay to make their daughters little boys. You see, before the Martin Luther King Republicans call you out and put you on blast, because we're going to call you out and put you on blast, because this is warfare, it's for the safety and life of our children.
Mm-hmm.
We do things the nonviolent way, because we are the Martin Luther King Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and we've built on a principle of nonviolence in Ebony. Why don't you give the listeners what the principal steps of nonviolence are? Shout out to Samson, I know you're listening.
Principle one, nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. Principle number two, nonviolence seeks to win friendships and understanding. Principle number three, nonviolence seeks to defeat injustices or evil and not people. Nonviolence principle number four holds that unearned voluntary suffering is a just cause to educate and transform people and societies. Principle five, nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. And number six, nonviolence believes that the universe always bends to the sides of justice.
So with these principles we are fighting on, it's only right, P. Ray, that we choose an area in the city of Chicago where a state rep, a state senator, and an alderman, and a commissioner voted in the who didn't vote in the interest of their people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask that area and that leadership to address the people. Because no need for us to come say, you did this, you did that, I don't know why you voted that way. But the people need to know why you voted that way. And you might have a plausible reasoning for thinking that boys need to be mutilated. You might be able to educate me on that. No joking. It might be a long-term reason that I might not know.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not satisfactory, then we're going to ask you to please overturn it. That's all. Just overturn it because we don't like it. And then if you don't overturn it, we will be moving upon you nonviolently with the people, because the people love their children. Black people love their children. We do want a future for our children. We don't want to give our future away to immigrants, illegal aliens. We are destroying our children, and we know it. They're not going to be having children or birthing. So we're going to bring a swap of other people in here because we are diluting our population.
Ugh.
Here in the days of creation, when God created man on the sixth day to be fruitful and multiply, we're saying we don't want to be multiply or be fruitful. What we're doing is creating transhumans. We're creating children who don't know how to love, children who only know death and destruction. We're creating children who don't even know what a woman is. That means a boy don't even know what a mother is. Their children will go to school and can't say mother and father. And these are the laws that they're passing by. They might not be telling you these laws, but they are. And what the Martin Luther King Republicans are going to be doing is going to be informing you of the laws, because we've been fighting for at least 15 years. Just for the last 5 years, we got Kavanaugh to call JB and make him, before sundown, JB made that call to open the churches up. Illinois, was one of the few states in this country. Shouts out to Purvis Thompson. Happy anniversary over there at New Canaan Land Church, who's out there with me. was only a few states in Illinois that can go to church. When Lori was going to remove all the police out of the school system, we was the one that fought them up, said we do need security in our schools so no one can come shoot our schools up. When everyone's saying the violence out of control, we made sure Lori brought in. We made sure Tom dropped. We made sure we had the state troopers, the county sheriffs, and the police all working in unison. That's just little things. When Title IX came in, when they want to have your little daughters in gyms and playing sports with little boys, we pushed it back. Matter of fact, Ebony, why don't you give a little group of everything we've been doing so far?
Oh, I'll just be really quick about that. Our campaign to save Title IX against Biden's proposed changes was a success, and we would like to thank the thousands of you who joined us and left a public comment with the Heritage Action League. We helped add over 39,000 public comments against this issue.
The America First issue, Ebony.
Well, there's also the Hopfenadol drug. That's the one that we're working on right now. It's already went through Congress, so we want you to talk to your senator, talk to anybody ahead to let them know that the Hopfenadol Act that's in Congress now.
Get a little information on that, and you can tell about what's it about so they can know.
Quickly, because then we want to talk about the book and the ticket to then get to the college.
Yeah, that was H.R. 657, the Hopfenadol Act. And it was pushed in. It's already been passed in the Congress. It's getting ready to go over to the Senate. The bill permanently placed fentanyl-related substances into a Class 1 schedule, making it a Class A substance, so then we can be able to deal with these drug dealers, the people that are passing out these fentanyl drugs. So that's another one of the issues that we're getting behind right now. So we need you guys to call our senators and let them know that we do support them passing the Halt the Fentanyl Act.
All right.
And we got the Tillman's Handbook of Great Black American Patriots, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can get a deal if you go to TillmanFamilyPress.com. If you go to TillmanFamilyPress.com and use the code WELCOME15, you can get 15% off of the Tillman's Handbook of Great Black American Patriots. A handbook that's on everybody's bookshelf, from President Trump. We got Ben Carson's on his bookshelf. Kanye West even has the book, and you should have it,
Rock
too.
Rakim got it.
You should have it, too. And lastly, we're going to continue to celebrate our 15 years of service, and we invite all of the WBON listeners to come out and join us at our upcoming Family, Faith, and Freedom Feast on June 17th at the Trump International Hotel in Towers. You guys can get your ticket at the mlkrfreedomfeast.rsvpify.com.
Say that one more time for me.
Yeah, you can get them at mlkrfreedomfeast.rsvpify.com. And for the Black Excellent Hours, if you put in excellence, you get a discount on your tickets, $50 off. So we'd like to see you guys there. Once again, it's mlkrfreedomfeast.rsvpify.com.
All right, all right, all right. So we have that posted in the comments as well. Come and pop out with us for Juneteenth. This is like a pre-Juneteenth event, and we are going to have a ball. So with all of that being said, we got the plan, y'all. We're doing the real policy work. We are not here to play in your feelings. We are not here to play in your face. We're not here to get you all riled up. No, we do not have time for that. We don't. It's real. This is real life. This is not me trying to stand in front of a camera or, you know, try to get some press time. No, this is about us maintaining what we have. And, again, I want to give a huge shout-out to my alderwoman, Emma Mitz, because now they're called Alder People, but she's a woman. So Alderwoman Emma Mitz, thank you again for going down there and handling the business of the Mississippi cotton pickers, just like we sent you down there to do. 773-591-1690. Again, we are trying to ask Chicago, what do you want your aldermen to know about how they voted? And then, again, how they're going to vote at the end of the month, because we have the solution here at the Martin Luther King Republicans. William, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
First of all, I would like to apologize to you for all the bad things I said about you, because what you were saying came true. I'm finished with
you.
The Democrats. I'm done with them. And it was so embarrassing to hear Taylor get on there and start crying. When y'all remember this, y'all gonna do something for us, you know. And we didn't vote her in to think with her heart. We voted her in to think with her brain, and that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then our mayor is looking like Stephen from the Django, just sitting up there letting these people do anything they want to do. And that's sad that we cannot come together. And look at all the people that got shot yesterday in Austin.
Oh, yeah, on Cicero in Iowa.
Yeah, his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Right, his neighborhood. And here it is. What type of person would feed somebody else's children before you feed your own children?
Well, right? the kind of person who told you exactly what he was going to do on his website. It's on the website. I read the website to everybody. I'm like, y'all, this is a farce. Don't do it. And y'all just was, you know, talking bad about me while I'm trying to save the people. It's so hard to figure out the trick first, William. When you figure it out first, then everybody thinks you're crazy. And then they catch up, and then they're like, oh, you're not crazy. So I could dig it.
Well, I wanted to apologize to you because I voted, and I just signed it, sent it in blank like you said. I started taking some of your advice, but I did want to apologize to you, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you, William.
For taking my call.
You're welcome. 773-591-1690. William said he's sorry for not listening to P. Ray and talking bad about her. It's okay. I can take it because we got to free the people.
He said it's dumb to Democrats too, so that's
and
a good thing.
That's the thing. Because the goal here at Black Excellence Hour is to turn Black Chicago red.
There you go, T.
When the show started, that's what we said we were coming to do. And here we are. Black Chicago is going bright red, hard right, because they are leading us wrong. Let's get back to it. Jim, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Well, I don't think I could have heard a more excellent description of what Jimmy Tillman was talking about. This is right on the point. This is why I'm a proud supporter of your group. I'll certainly be there, a small sponsor on the 17th. These are the words that people have to hear. You know, and also, like you're saying, I got expression. I say, keep your kids out of the chop shop. Just like you're talking about, cutting off all your general, you know, parts for your kids is just awful. It's just the devil at work, and we've got to stop it. So keep your kids out of chop shop. Good job. Good job. And also, as far as the employment situation and money, I was in Indiana last weekend, and down in on Route 41, Indianapolis Boulevard, between Route 80 and Route 30 going into Dyer into Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
The stores are loaded. It's six lanes of traffic. The parking lots are full. The stores are full. There's no vacancies. People are shopping. Economic activity. In other words, that means work for entry-level jobs for kids that cannot get work.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had the same success here in Illinois and Chicago, you'd have kids working and not get in trouble. So you're absolutely right. We got to change the course of action here in Illinois. So good job, and thank you for your message.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for supporting, Jim. I appreciate that.
Let's get back to it. Michael. Ooh, Michael, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
You're right. Thank you so much for taking my call. I hope you and your loved ones are well.
Thank you.
I got to keep it real here. I'm actually really heartsick over this whole vote for the migrants or the illegals. And the problem is I live in the 6th Ward.
Mm-hmm.
My alderman is William Hall, and he's been bought and paid for by the public sector unions and the United Working Families. So calling him would be pretty much useless. I hope and pray that he at least cares about public safety because we need all the help we can get. That's my comment.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I do live in the 6th Ward, too. And I was wondering why Will voted that way, and I was wondering when he's having his new meetings.
War night.
Yeah, I'm wondering when he hasn't got set it in. You know, shout out to Rod Sawyer. He's also a supporter of the Martin Luther King Republicans. What's up, homie? I know you're listening.
They all love it. Everybody, I'm telling you, they're like that Black Excellence Hour. But we are here to emancipate the people from the situation that we are in, because we free, y'all. Yep. We are free. We owe these people absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. They're not doing us a favor. They're spending our tax dollars how we ask them to allocate it. That is what they do. That is their job. That's what the legislature does. They spend the tax money based on how their constituents want it allocated and then use policy to they use the policy to what's the word I'm looking for? To validate how they spend. That's how government works.
$1.7 million a day. They get $1.7 million a day.
Yes. Think about how many rehabs could have been in your neighborhood with all that money that was supposed to be spent on opioids.
50 wards got $1.7 $7 million. What could they do with their wards?
See? But they didn't care. 773-591-1690. Val, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Hello, P. Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, the reason I'm calling is because, you know, Illinois is a house divided. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to John Anthony's show yesterday, and, you know, they had Stephanie Trussell on there. And, you know, as you know, it was a fiasco with the election last year, and everybody wanted Bailey elected. You know, we had to go forward and having to defeat the Democrats and their agenda. But, you know, what puzzles me is that as much work as I'm doing with the grassroots after having to move back to Illinois and having all this fall into my lap, I just didn't realize how bad this family is divided. And so Stephanie, she goes on this show, and I'm listening, I'm watching, and I felt that she could use that platform to have to talk about the Black community. Hey, by the way, Jimmy, nice to see you.
Thank you. How are you, my friend?
Hey, hopefully I'm going to run you. I'm going to manage your campaign next time.
come on, Val. We got a lot of people behind you, baby. You got to text Jimmy.
Listen.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen, she had that platform, but she didn't use it. Instead, she attacked you. And you know what? We have to come together right now because, you know what, you're doing amazing things. You know, a person can have a loaf of bread. They're jealous about someone having it sliced. And we got to stop it. If we don't come together right now, we're not going to win in 2024. We're not going to give Donald Trump the 17 electoral votes, let alone get the General Assembly. So we have to stop this chatter. We have to stop the jealousy. We have to stop the infighting. Because if not, what's going to happen? We're all going to lose together. So, hey, thank you for your time. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Val.
Can I say something about that for a second?
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I caught the Stephanie Trussell thing on Black and Right. Because it's not really a black, so-called, like your radio station, going to cater to black people. It's just titled Black and Right. And, you know, they
don't like when I say that, though.
Well, you know.
They don't like when I say that it's not a black show.
I tried to go some black issues, and they want to play identity politics.
That's what they said. They don't see color, but you have black in your name.
Right. And I said that, but I ain't going to trip. But I heard Verlon called me on that show one time, you know, so big up to Verlon, you know what I'm saying, like that. But he called me on that show.
Verlon was my grandmother's CNA, and he dropped her on her face, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
By the way.
Well,
by the way.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, and I asked her, wait a minute, on that Zoom camera, because everybody knows how I talk about Mama and how Mama was trapped in the nursing home and how I was running there saying, put her shoes on, I'm coming to get her. Well, while she was there, that man, now he told this to me. I was on a boat party, and he said the nursing home he worked at. I said my grandmother was there. I gave him her name, and he said, that's my lady. That's my girl. That's my patient. I love her. I met your mom. I met your auntie. I said, so you were taking care of Mama. Uh-huh. I was taking care of your grandmother. I said, so how she get that knot on her head? Because when I was looking at her on the Zoom, she had a black knot on her head, and I said, Mama, who dropped you? How did this happen to you? And I couldn't even get into the nursing home. He's like, well, we were understaffed, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now it was we.
He's a CNA?
He's a CNA.
I thought he was a political, like a pundit or like a
He's a CNA.
Oh.
No, nothing against the CNAs. We need them. But
up.
No, he's not a political commentator or a political scientist or a candidate or none of that. He's the man who dropped my grandma on her face.
Okay. Well, I know he brought me on the show. It was a hit piece for my girl, Kathy, but, you know, I never been back on there. But I don't like the diss black Republicans, but it ain't Stephanie Trussell really. You see, she go hard on Richard Irvin. You know, I didn't vote for Richard Irvin or, you know, she goes hard on Richard Irvin, say he's a Democrat and, you know, what have you. I just took offense to that because he's a black man, all like that. But I took offense not because, you know, like everybody says, she don't like black people. I took it like that too, but because there's a Democrat named Augie Dozier. A Democrat by the name of Augie Dozier, Stephanie. Augie Dozier. And she was an Augie Dozier fan. And he ran against me against the primary during Trump's first election. And she was just riding Augie Dozier on the radio, tripping on me now. I got upset because you black, I'm black. Hey, he's a white man. Why are you tripping? You know, I don't think, you know, I'm okay. But My beef was he was a Democrat the last cycle. Why are you jocking this guy this time? Well, you know, everybody get a chance. Flip, flap, flop. Now here come Richard Irvin. Oh, this, that, another. Richard Irvin finished. Stephanie, Richard Irvin finished third. If you're going to be mad at Sullivan. It was Sullivan voters who sat down. The black community voted for you, or they stayed at home and didn't vote for JB. It was the white community. They didn't feel that you was qualified. And the sad part about it is the party does not want you around. And I hate to be the one to say it. I tried to tell you on the tour. Go back to the callers. I don't hit this girl that hard no more because, Stephanie, it was me. It was me, Stephanie. It wasn't P. Ray. Don't come at the P. Ray. Don't even come at the Paul. I'm the one that said, man, she don't like black people. That was me. I set it down in Quincy. I set it down every sundown town I've been to because you was dissing my mama up and down the trail, up and down the trail. So I was hitting you back. I didn't think it'd come down here. And I didn't think you'd be beating on P-Ray.
I know. Why won't she leave me alone? This lady stole my whole identity. Before, she was all, you know, I don't see color. I'm just a suburban housewife. I'm just, you know, a conservative saying all their speaking points. I come out. I'm pro-West Side. I'm pro-black. Now you pro-West Side. Now you pro-black. At first, you know, it was all we Americans. Now you talking about our people, my people, our people. And then before she went to go do the interview with Bailey that she did not have the confidence to go do, I built up her confidence because this is a show for people with high self-esteem. I enjoy, you know, helping people
get
together.
Well, she's embarrassing Bailey right now by not backing Trump for the first of all. See, that was got me. Then you got Bailey down with Trump and you down with Salami. So that shows me even while you was rolling with Bailey, you was faking it out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people saw that. You see, it wasn't the black community. It was Central Illinois.
Mm.
Home of Jimmy's voters.
You know, it's just so people are asking, who are the aldermen? Tomorrow, y'all, we're going to get into that aldermanic conversation so deep. I got 9 minutes. I got all these people. I'm so sorry. We got way off track talking about somebody that is not relevant at all.
She's done with politics. She's out of here.
Yeah, so y'all forget this whole conversation. We don't even got to take it any further. And to those sassy roosters that were over there, you know.
Black and wrong.
Black and wrong that were over there instigating. Now what? Nobody cares. Let's get back to the phone line. Charles, welcome to Black Excellence Hour. Charles?
How you doing?
Hey.
Yes, how you doing? Brother and sister, try to be quick so I might be talking fast. What I've noticed about the so-called black people or whatever you want to call us, what I've noticed about us is we are abused mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So when you have an abused child or an abused person, they're easy to take advantage of, they're easy to manipulate, and they're wounded. And when you're wounded somewhere, you're going to be too busy trying to guard a wound when you're leaving yourself open up for other attacks. So you have to heal the wound, even though it's a flesh wound on the outside. Inside is where it takes effect. So we have to take care of the inside, which is our people first. Then you can go out to others, because otherwise you're going to keep getting the same thing. And just like the brother said, I'm talking from the scriptures, because people say, what is a sin? The definition of a sin is lawlessness. This is why we got lawlessness. And I just want to hear you. I'm sorry, I just wanted to say this. I just wanted to say they're going to use you black people as an agenda to start a race war because you're the most abused and they're going to keep attacking you and they're going to keep putting people over you. Why is it? Because it's over your head for a sign and a wonder.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles. Let's get back to it, and we appreciate that. Y'all, we free. That's all we can say is we free. We don't have to keep dealing with them under any circumstances. Put on your gym shoes and run away. Mama D, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Well, how are you? Greetings, quickly.
Hey, Mama D.
Senator, first of all, we are not all the same, and it's an insult to say that we are. And there is not enough money for everybody, because seeking citizens, they get services through a lottery. Sanctuary seekers get it off the top, and $550 million of it is coming from the state.
Yes, just for their health care.
Right, and people in Dixmoor, they're using that for the sanctuary settlers fund. That's $550 million.
And they ain't got no clean water.
People in Dixmoor are sick because they don't have clean water to drink.
No clean water.
And so, but as I said, the others get it off the top. And Alderman Raymond Lopez, if he hadn't raised the question, what happened to the $2 billion, the account would have, that $50 million would have passed through solidly with only 3 dissenting votes, but 10 more people voted against it. And the next time that the question still needs to be answered, what happened to the $2 billion?
Yes, ma'am. That's tomorrow's show. When I say that's tomorrow's show, we got so much time to dig into it.
We'll be
back. Thank you. Wait, Mama D, I got to let you go because, you know, we at the end.
Yeah, but tomorrow I'm limited to two calls a week left.
Oh, no. Then tomorrow, burn up one of your calls and call me. It starts on the Monday. Not on the weekends.
We need your call on her show, Mama D. Waste your call on her. Waste your call here. Don't waste it on nobody else's show.
I just answer your questions just a little bit.
No, ma'am, because I got to let you go. I got other people who want to talk to us. We'll talk tomorrow. Let's get back to it. Lee, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Hello. You too. Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what I wanted to say is, for us black people, Black people, we just need to pull together, stick together, and love one another. Okay, that's the only way we're going to make it in this world, the only way. And I am a Democrat. I'm sorry to say that I'm not going to change, but we need to just pull together, and we can make it just like the other races.
Who's your alderman, ma'am?
What?
Who's your alderman?
Well, I live in the suburbs.
Yes.
Who's your state rep?
Yeah.
Who's your state rep? See, all they ain't got to get you state reps getting you and your state senators. And, you know, I can understand you're not letting Democrats go, but they're killing your race.
Yep, they don't like you, Miss Lee. But thank you, love. Thank you, ma'am, for calling me.
All right.
Thank you. Let's get back to it. Ron, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Yeah, from the beginning, when there were 9 candidates running for mayor, I've said it over and over on the airwaves. Anyway, Brandon Johnson would be the last person I voted for. You see, P-Ray, like I said, all you have to look at his position papers.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing interesting to black people. Now, to answer your question, we're in the same situation. This is the first time Michelle Harris and I have voted against her, put my money against her, walked the streets against her. So this is the first time she's done right. But, Tim, you asked the right question too late. They don't know they state reps. That's the problem. My state rep, Marcus Evans, state senator, LG Sims, I call these people. I show up. They know me. It's not that I know them. They know me. But I have let them know they are total failures, and I will continue to support any candidates. But last, most important guy, we need to get ready to prepare for when the Democrats come here so it can go around the country. Black people in Chicago are fed up. We need to start organizing. And this migration thing is going to be the impetus to let them know this is the president, the vice president, black people are not buying it anymore from the Democrats. Thanks.
You're welcome, Ron. Let's clear this real quick. David, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
I live in the 27th Ward, and Walter Burnett is the alderman. And my message to Walter Burnett is, how could you vote for this bill that gives $51 million to people who shouldn't even be here? As a descendant of enslaved Africans, what are you thinking? That's my message to Alderman Burnett. I did call him before the vote last week.
Thank you for doing your homework. Thank you.
CP Ray, look at the difference you're making.
I'm trying.
Succeeding.
Thank you. Thank you. And last caller, Michelle, welcome to Black Excellence Hour. Miss Michelle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi. Yes. I'm calling in because I'm in the 24th Taylor's Ward.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would like to know who got money, who got donations, who got money for voting for them people, because it's just the way it sounds like they was paid off. And also, they don't help the people in the neighborhood. They have you fill out the papers. Then the people come out and look and see what's wrong, and then they deny you just to say that they came out. It's really ridiculous. I vote at every election, and I can't get no help. And you know, it's just ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Michelle. I'm sorry that the music is playing, and that means that we are at the end of today's show. And I thank you guys so much for hanging out with me today at Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. See, what we're doing here, you guys, we are building a movement. And today's homework is to go to the Martin Luther King Republicans website and do some reading. Get some knowledge, y'all. We got to read more. Stop filling. Go to the Brandon for Chicago website as well and read that immigration plan so we can start planning for what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Because tomorrow we are going to bring the data. I'm rolling real tapes. All that crying and can on, we bringing that to the table. I don't want to hear none of that because Chicago, we are being played, but we are better than that. Again, this is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. I'll be giving out some of the Tillman handbooks tomorrow as well, so be sure to tune in tomorrow night. We are about to have a ball. Let's go, Brandon, to all the Brandons. I love y'all. Ciao, and see you tomorrow. She don't matter no more. Ciao.
What you doing? Come on, tell me!